You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Historians say the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, after statehood, is the second most important legislation for Alaska. It changed the lives of Alaskans both then and now forever. And tomorrow night on 360 TV, a KTOO documentary will air at 8 o'clock p.m. called ANCSA from the Archives, Moments in Time. So joining us now to tell us about the program, we have Rhonda McBride, host and producer of this show, and also one of the producers for tomorrow night's program. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi there. Boy, it's so much fun to actually be talking with you on the radio because we see each other and we communicate by email all the time. And we never actually are on the radio together. This is kind of fun.
I know. And we were just talking about how often is it that you get to be interviewed, right? Instead of being the one asking the questions, now you get to be the one answering them.
Yeah, that is kind of a strange turn on things. But I do want to say thank you very much for and everyone else in the arts team for taking up the slack for me while I could work on this project. And my co-producer in this is Will Mader, who he oversees Gavel to Gavel, 360 TV's coverage of the legislature, but he's also a very talented producer, and I like to call him the Ken Burns of Alaska. He's a master at historical footage, and we also had another partner in our project, another co-producer, Kevin Tripp, who is the director of the Alaska Moving Image Preservation Association, which is, for short, AMIPA, but they are a film archives in Anchorage. And so they, along with UAF, have the biggest film collections and video collections. It's like traveling back in time when you look at this stuff.
Yes, and I know that you and Will have been having a lot of fun putting all this together, and it's great that there is so much footage, so much archival footage to draw from, but I know it's been a lot of work for both of you as well. So I'm glad that that you've been able to produce such great both radio shows and TV shows, including this documentary. So let's back up a little bit. Tell me about some of the footage that we'll see and why is it important?
Well, this one main piece of footage that about an hour of the show is built around was shot by a name really familiar, I'm sure, to people here in Juneau, Lowell Thomas Jr. He was elected lieutenant governor and served under Governor Jay Hammond. And his father was a famous broadcaster, Lowell Thomas Sr. He was, you know, a star of a lot of travel shows and things like that for the network. But Lowell Thomas Jr. came to Alaska and made a career out of filming things. And most of them are things like flying, you know, to the mountains, or doing economic development type of programs. But what was really interesting is not long after he passed, his family brought several hundred films of his to the Alaska Moving Image Preservation Association. And, you know, they're all that kind of stuff, labeled travel, you know, flying to the mountains or whatever. But there was this one little box, tiny little box, and it was labeled ANCSA. And so, of course, that kind of film is fragile, so it had to be sent out of state. And it was developed, and it turned out to be footage of a 1968 hearing in February where a draft bill of ANCSA was reviewed. It involved 3 days of testimony, and although there is only 6 minutes of black and white film on this, it was transcribed, so there's 500 pages of testimony. And what we did is we kind of used this film as a vehicle to talk about ANCSA. So if you haven't, you know, really followed what's going on with ANCSA, and it just kind of swirls in your head, I think that this project will help you understand what happened, because we use the testimony, we use the film, and we have actors, so to speak. Not quite actors, but people who read the testimony to us, very skilled readers. We have our own Aaron Tripp, who does the female Native voices who testify. We have Jake Wade, who channeled Byron Mallott, Willie Hensley, wow. Emil Nadi.
Wow.
And then, of course, we have Steve Heimel, who many of you may know from the Alaska Public Radio Network, and he channeled the opponents of ANCSA and Wally Hickel. So anyway, I have pulled a little clip of this, and one of the things was in this hearing is that Hickel testified. He was kind of like the main marquee testifier, and you could tell from the way the film was shot that Lowell Thomas Jr. was waiting for him to show up and set it up as he came into the room, sat down. And so we talk with historians Steve Haycock and Paul Ontagook about Hickel, among many things that we talked about that happened at that hearing. So anyway, let's listen to a little bit of that.
Here we go.
That's 1968. 68 was a big year. 68 was the year that Wally Hickel, as governor, agreed to establish a Native Claims Task Force, which was made up of Native and non-Native members, which Willie Hensley chaired, and made the first proposals for how are we going to solve this conundrum that we've got here that was brought about by three things, really. First, that the state wants to take land. Second, that the Natives, by the Statehood Act and by anything moral, are arguing, no, you can't take that, that's our land. And then the blowtorch put on that problem by that conflict or challenge by the discovery of oil at Prudhoe Bay. So 68 was a huge year.
Governor Wally Hickel was a fierce protector of land awarded to Alaska at statehood. Land Alaska Natives had convinced Interior Secretary Stuart Udall to lock up. After Hickel failed to reverse the land freeze, he changed course and aligned with Alaska Natives. On the first day of the hearings, Hickel headlined the news coverage. The big question, where was the governor headed with land claims?
I think the Native people have a justification in putting on the land freeze as a means to implement a start to get this thing settled. But I would hope there would be some way that we could get together to where this land freeze could be lifted, because we are all Alaskans, Native and un-Native Alaska.
By the time this hearing was held, Hickel had already accepted his task force's recommendation for Alaska Natives to retain title to about 11% of Alaska's total land mass. He also favored cash in lieu of more land and recast the federal government as the real villain.
The federal government has, for far too long, ignored this vast land of such overwhelming potential.
Paul, what was Wally Hickel's position on ANCSA, and why was it significant at that time?
Well, it's significant because he's governor. And so he's representing a kind of pioneer Alaska perspective that it's all resources that can be taken and made useful, and that we need to modernize the Alaskan economy. It's just this theme that's almost as though the Chamber of Commerce is running the whole state of Alaska.
So would he have been perceived as friend or foe to the Alaska Native community in that hearing?
Well, he was probably best known by Alaska Natives for his statewide radio broadcast that he had done earlier. And, you know, the crux of it being, just because somebody's grandfather chases a moose across some land doesn't mean that those people own it.
If you're just joining me, this is Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney, and here with me is Rhonda McBride, one of the producers for ANCSA from the archives and Moments in Time. We were just listening to a clip there. Rhonda, you mentioned that the footage that used for this documentary was kind of found, tucked away in a box, probably forgotten, very fragile. What kind of shape was it in?
Well, they had to send it out to the lower 48, because you never know with film like that, and to a special lab. And initially, the lab did scans on it to see what was on it. And I know that Kevin Tripp was amazed to go, oh my God, there's well-known people on that. Governor Hickel, Willie Hensley, Emil Nadi, Byron Mallott, you know, some of the main leaders in the land claims movement. And of course, Byron Mallott is gone now, but Willie Hensley and Emil Nadi are still alive. And I showed the footage to Emil Nadi, and he could name all the people in the room and tell me about them. But anyway, as it turned out, that film was put in a box and never opened. So it was in remarkably good condition because it was never opened. And it's just 6 minutes with no sound on it. But again, just looking at it, seeing the people in the room and seeing the people, some of the people who testified, it takes you to the room. It takes you to the time. It's remarkable.
That's very lucky, and lucky that there's transcripts as well, so we can kind of put the pieces together. And yeah, go ahead.
You know what's kind of funny is in the film you can see these big beast-looking recorders. they're just huge, and you see these microphones. And apparently, what they did is they recorded these hearings to transcribe them, and that we never could find. Kevin Tripp did a search to see if he could find the original audio. But what they did then is they would transcribe them and then reuse the reels. it was maddening seeing these big recorders there and not having any sound.
So this documentary, it's actually part of a larger project. Can you tell us about how it fits in with what else you've been doing?
Well, part of it is the Alaska Native Media Group and one of its primary movers and shakers, Irene Rowan, wanted to put together a film festival. Normally she does panels on ANCSA, but with COVID, they couldn't do any panels. And so they have had panels, public panels on ANCSA at the 30-year, 40-year mark, 25-year mark, various ones. And luckily those have been recorded. So what Irene Rowan did is help us put together 7 nights of broadcasts that look back at some of the documentaries that Nellie Moore did. She's one of the pioneering Native journalists in Alaska. And also just these great panel discussions, some of them that Nellie hosted, others like one we're going to see tomorrow night, Tommy Richards, who was one of the original reporters in the Tundra Times newspaper. He moderated one of the panels, so we're going to see excerpts of that tomorrow night of a panel he moderated. But these are just great snapshots in time. And one of my favorite things about this project is a little montage, and you'll see it tomorrow night that Will Mader put together. Is there are little clips of Willie Hensley and Emil Nadi over the years, starting at the beginning, and you know, you just see, you hear Willie say something and then say another thing and another thing, and it's like every 10 years, you know, we're getting a different look at these guys, and you go, oh my goodness. Because Willie Hensley, when he was at this hearing in 1968, was just 26 years old, just 26. And what he did and others in that movement, many young people, changed the world, certainly changed Alaska. You know, and it was a landmark piece of legislation, a landmark victory, though not perfect, for Alaska Natives, Indigenous peoples. And it's just such an interesting insight to I think that's the big story here, is that young people can change the world. They can do a lot, and we underestimate them.
It's great to revisit the importance of ANCSA and help folks who don't understand it come to understand how big of a deal it was 50 years later. Rhonda, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining me today.